Every piece of music seems to have an emotional signature that is so intuitive that it can create overpowering feelings, as if the acoustic features could control your emotions. For example, the musical ingredients of the well-known Jaws theme, composed by the multi-Oscar winner John Williams, were deliberately contrived to produce fear. In 1975, Steven Spielberg climbed to stardom after unleashing Jaws on an unsuspecting public. The opening scene was of such visceral power that the U.S. population took the film's poster tagline, "Don't go in the water," quite literally. This opening scene, which began as a point-of-view shot of an underwater creature moving swiftly to the surface, followed by a swimmer being ravaged by a shark, was accompanied by a custom-made score containing all the musical features necessary to build up menace and suspense. And it worked. On July 11, 1975, the New York Times ran the headline, "Impact of Jaws has anglers and bathers on the lookout." Steven Spielberg has stated that Williams' terrifying score is largely to account for the commercial success of Jaws. The score consists of a slowly alternating pattern of two bass notes, followed by suspense-inducing pregnant pauses, a pattern which repeats and speeds up to mirror the audience's mounting trepidation. That from the study "You Are What You Hear" by Harry Wichel. We'll soon learn that young Colleen Ruddy wasn't frightened, but was fascinated and drawn to sounding those depths. And if you'll pardon the fishing analogy, she was so thoroughly hooked that she is now a professional bass player and a teacher with a coast-to-coast career. But it's not just the menacing music of the Ocean's Deep or the high-flown film scores from the likes of Star Wars, but also those tender tunes from Tinseltown. Colleen Ruddy here. She received her classical music training from Carnegie Mellon and Boston University. She has performed live with Andrea Bocelli, appeared as an electric bassist on NBC's The Voice, toured with Simon Cowell's pop opera group Il Divo, with Star Wars in Concert, and the Chamber Orchestra Kremlin. Colleen has appeared at Carnegie Hall and the Library of Congress, Boston Symphony Hall, and Nokia Theater in Los Angeles. Her past teaching experience includes guiding and mentoring students through institutions such as the Boston Youth Symphony Orchestra's Intensive Community Program, Harvard University, and the Santa Monica Malibu Unified School District. In addition to degrees in music performance, Colleen's training includes completion of a music education certificate program from Carnegie Mellon University. And she has returned to her native northeastern Pennsylvania, where she will share her immense love of music by teaching at the Gathering Place in Clark Summit. Colleen Ruddy paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about her music making.
I started when I was about 10 years old. I started piano first and then violin in the Abington Heights School District. And from there, I discovered the upright bass in fifth grade. My arms were way too long for the violin. I needed a full-size violin, but my family couldn't afford to purchase one at the time. So I used a school instrument. I got to try the cello and the bass, and I discovered that I could play the theme from Jaws on the bass. And I was sold. That was it. I called my mother and told her to come pick me up. I had a new instrument. It barely fit in the car, but it fit.
And it was really just that sense of connecting with your imagination and what you had experienced in the movie theater and that you could really do that.
Yes, the movie theater for sure. You know, the theme from Jaws, it was so low and bassy and it just stuck with me. And so even now, I've been involved in movie music and touring with the Star Wars in concert and right now performing with the Game of Thrones in Boston and Connecticut. So it's really kind of come full circle.
Do you have a very active, just as a person, a very active visual sense? Does your music connect on some level, even if it's not movie connected?
Yes, actually, there's been a lot of development spatially, my creative visualization, which has connected with different senses in many different ways. Not only through my preparation, I visualize what I am going to be performing. It's almost like an athlete performing, where an athlete would use a sports psychologist and different creative visualization techniques. And now as a performer, I use that same exact technique to prepare for performances and for auditions.
I remember very well being at a recital of yours before you went off to school in Pittsburgh and how you were using a bass that was a fine starter instrument, but it wasn't one that would give you the full range of experience so that you could express yourself and express the music as it should be expressed. Tell our listeners how you got from that moment to Pittsburgh.
I participated in many different activities in the schools, the PMEA, districts, regionals, states, all easterns, all of those fun events where we would go to different areas of the state and participate in performances. And then I participated in the Pennsylvania Governor's School for the Arts, which really solidified things for me. And also then all Easterns placing first for the 13 states kind of gave me the confidence I needed to really commit to going to school for music and pursuing a career in performing arts.
And did you know of a bassist in Pittsburgh who would attract you as a teacher?
Yes, I have a very memorable experience of going to visit Carnegie Mellon, and I met two teachers. One was Anthony Bianco, who was the former principal bassist of the Pittsburgh Symphony, and then the current Pittsburgh Symphony bass player. His name is Jeffrey Turner, and they both left a lasting impression on me. And they both believed in me so much that it just changed my outlook on life and performing.
And choosing the bass as your instrument, you know that it's not going to be a wide-ranging solo career that you'd have because of the limited pieces. How did you think about making your life as a bassist?
I've kind of gone with the flow. It has been uncharted territory because of the limited repertoire. And the bass hasn't been such a solo instrument for very long, yet there are composers in history such as Bottesini and Koussevitzky really impacted the solo potential of the instrument. But with generations going by and the support of teachers and being in communities that support the arts and really encourage classical music, participation in classical music, it's really opened up doors for me.
Do you love the lyrical lines? Do you love the range?
I love the range. I love Rachmaninoff. I love a lot of the cello music, which I've transferred over to the bass because of the lyrical lines.
And you do have that wide-ranging interest, not just the chance to play as you've outlined some of those wonderful touring experiences, but you do love arts education and music education.
Yes, I think there is so much to the arts education, not just performing the music, but it brings students together in so many different ways. They collaborate with each other, they make friends, they learn to play well with others, if you will.
So you had this wonderful experience with these teachers who could hear and see your potential and helped you to find your voice.
Here in northeastern Pennsylvania, there was definitely a supportive environment from the school teachers and my private teacher here. And I got to play in a chamber orchestra with the wife of Nellie Bell.
That's Václav Nellie Bell, the Czech composer whose archives are at the University of Scranton.
Yes, and some other people that really were influential here in northeastern Pennsylvania. But that opportunity to perform with my teacher really helped me progress quicker than just private lessons alone.
You have to really hear it, feel it, right?
Right. And I was able to imitate exactly what all the other professional musicians were doing.
And it is such a muscle-based experience. Do you do things like Alexander technique?
Oh, for sure. Yoga, breathing exercises. I do strength training to balance my muscles and also to just make sure that I have the longevity for my career.
Tell us about this instrument shift. Do you still have a bass that you've been working with for a long time? Tell us about it.
Well, this bass I did receive at that time that you're speaking of, and it was a very exciting time. I received a scholarship from the F. Lamont Belin Scholarship and a generous donation from a neighbor that really helped me afford a beautiful, beautiful instrument that has helped me express my musicality. It's a French bass made in 1850. It has a beautiful sound, and I just love it.
Where did you find it?
I found it in Long Island in a bass shop. There's a couple bass shops around, and just so happened that it was available, and everything came together.
And it really is like a partner.
Oh, I can, you know, the vibrations, I can feel the vibrations, the sounds. It affects my daily outlook on life, and it's so calming that I just can't see myself without it.
And it isn't easy to get round with something that big, so you have to really be committed. Traveling isn't the easiest thing.
Oh, I definitely appreciate help, you know, holding doors and moving it. I have a wheel, and then the strength training, I'd keep on top of that too.
How are things playing out for you in terms of where you are and what you're up to right now?
Well, I'm here in northeastern Pennsylvania, and I think it's a great location. It's close to New York. It's close to Philadelphia. I have a hybrid car. I can be anywhere really easily. So I'm going back to Boston on Monday for performances. I'll be in Philadelphia for the Irish Tenors on St. Paddy's Day. And I was just in December with Andrea Bocelli for a concert there. And I'm hoping that there'll be more performances, I think, in Philadelphia.
Is it like the old days where the orchestra would play in the movie house? There's a screening of Star Wars and you're playing?
Yes, it's very similar. We're in stadiums and they're humongous screens, just amazing, really impressive screens behind us with the live musicians. In this case, with the Game of Thrones, the composer is there conducting and performing the hammered dulcimer, which is in the score for the Game of Thrones. And then in Madison Square Garden with Andrea Bocelli, just unbelievable. You know, they do have screens for those other performances. I'm not sure about what will happen with Irish Tenors.
And you must learn and come away enriched every time you do one of these. It's a different type of music.
It's the love of the sound, the love of performing with others, and it just clicks.
Now tell us about the Gathering Center in Clark Summit.
Oh, it's so exciting. They have a wonderful, wonderful initiative happening with the arts and education. It's a place where people can come together to gather and also to create and learn. And the goal is to really bring people together in the community.
And so you're there working with what kinds of students?
It'll be anybody that wants to learn. Children, adults, everyone is welcome. Musically, we have a few exciting things happening. There will be an instrument petting zoo, which is not just for children, it will be for adults as well, where people can come and try a different instrument out. I'll be presenting the upright bass, the electric bass. People can try the cello, the violin. I believe we'll be having a Celtic harp and a hammer to dulcimer coming up on the 18th, March 18th. Then we start our classes. So we'll be having introductory classes to the string instruments. There'll be a ukulele class for beginners and experienced players. And the other program that I'll be offering is chamber music for experienced players, which I'm hoping to gather like-minded people that want to play with others. Even if they haven't played their instrument in a while and they want to brush up, it's going to be the perfect opportunity for people to get together and play music together.
Why do you love playing chamber music?
For me, a lot of it has to do with connecting with others and friendship and the sounds. There's so much to it. We create together. Performing together is also a lot of fun.
And is the Gathering in a building that used to be a firehouse?
It is. It's beautiful. They've done a remarkable job. It's brand new, beautiful walls, and They have a kitchen there where they'll be having cooking classes, and it's adapted for people with special needs, and everyone is welcome.
And are the classes at different times in their day, some at night, weekends, so people can take advantage depending on their schedules?
Yes, absolutely. The weekends and after school hours, but also there will be a lunchtime lecture series happening and other exciting events.
What's your philosophy of starting someone on an instrument who's never played before?
It does take patience. It does. But like anything you learn, anything you start, for instance, learning a language, babies are encouraged to try. You know, they're not criticized or put down for the way they speak. We think it's funny. We think it's cute when they say something different. And the same thing with learning an instrument, approaching an instrument with an open mindset that it's okay for me to make a mistake as long as I'm trying and trying every day. Consistency is the key to really improving.
What should people do if they're interested in signing up or at least getting to the petting zoo?
On the Gathering Place's website, we have some information at thegatheringplacecs.org, and they can sign up there for the courses. And they're very reasonably priced and, again, inclusive of everybody. We hope everyone will come.
And so it doesn't have to just be Clark Summit?
No. Definitely northeastern Pennsylvania. We're hoping to reach everybody.
Colleen Ruddy, bassist and music educator from northeastern Pennsylvania with a national career, speaking with us about her musical career and inviting us to experience music and more at the Gathering Place in Clark Summit, the petting zoo on Saturday, March 18th, with classes to follow. The Gathering Place, 304 South State Street in Clark Summit. For more information on the web, gatheringplacecs.org. gatheringplacecs.org. Among the classes to be offered, ukulele class 1 for beginners, ukulele class 2 for those with some experience, introduction to string instruments, chamber music, and also all about opera. And some of the other classes at the Gathering Place: wooden spoon carving, introduction to metalsmithing, next steps in crochet, European design bouquet, tips and techniques for repurposing furniture, Days of Our Lives, journals and memoirs, elementary Spanish, cartooning for adults, capturing life by the panel, for the love of books, just among some of the spring classes at the Gathering Place, 304 South State Street in Clark Summit, gatheringplacecs.org, gatheringplacecs.org.